Krishna says in the 8th chapter of Gita, Yam Yam Vapi Sran Bhavan Tyajit Yanti Kalevaram. Tyajit Yanti Kalevaram. Tyag, this Kalevaram, this Deha Sharir, when we give it up, we have to give it up. Time takes it away, death takes it away. Yam Yam Vapi Smaran Bhavam. Smaran Bhavam. What is our Bhav? What is our Smaran Bhav? What are we remembering? What are we remembering? So he says, Smaran Bhavan. Bhav. What is that? What are we remembering? You only remember something you're attached to. Whatever you're attached to, you remember it. And you're attached to something you love. I love money, I'm attached to money. I love woman, I'm attached to woman. I love my family, I'm attached to my family. I love God, I'm attached to God. So if we're attached to God, then if we love God, then we're attached to Him. Then we remember Him. If we love our wife, we're attached to her, and we love her, and we remember her. That's good. Especially when you're married, to remember your wife and not forget her and go somewhere else. But what is human life meant for? Are we meant to die remembering our wife and husband and children? And we stay in samsara. Samsara chakra, kala chakra. Kala is a wheel. Wheel of time, we say in English. Wheel of time, kala chakra. It's wheel. A wheel does what? A wheel moves, a wheel supports, a wheel grinds. You can grind a grinding wheel. Chula, what do they call it? Choki. Choki is two wheels. Chucky. Chucky is two wheels, and they're grinding. So the wheel of time, the kala chakra, is grinding our way our life. Our life is being ground away, filed away by time. Kala chakra. We're on the grinding wheel. So the last portion of life should be absorbed in God. So as you were saying, that if you only live to be 80, that's crossing your fingers. So 80 into 4 is 20, 20, 20. 20 years celibacy, 20 years marriage, 20 years retired, 20 years renounced. I didn't say go to Haridwar. I didn't say shave your head. I didn't say take sannyas. I said renounced. Means absorbed in God. Let's make it less, take out the fangs. Tyag, vairag. To be a vairagi or a tyagi is frightening to a grihastha. Oh, leave my family. Leave the household. Leave my air conditioning. But we're not saying that. We're saying leave the attachment. Leave the attachment. Body here and there. You can be in Haridwar thinking you're your family. Your head can be shaved. You can be sitting under a tree and remembering your family. So it's leave them. Let them leave your consciousness. Let them leave your mind and heart. And let God come there. But how is it? It happens by a miracle. You live 60 years without thinking of God, and all of a sudden you snap your fingers and you absorb your mind in God. Impossible. Impossible. There's no sanskara. There's no impression. Sanskara means impression, deep impression on the chitta, the consciousness, the chitta. Whatever we do over and over again, it makes impression. Lasting impression, indelible impression on the chitta. Chitta means the consciousness, the surface of the consciousness. So we do something over and over and over again, it becomes what we say second nature. In Sanskrit, it's called sanskara. Sanskara. So there's no, that's called bhog sanskaras. Material activities, material enjoyment, sense enjoyment, bodily pleasures, over and over and over and over and over again. It just carves into our consciousness, bhog, 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 enjoyment. No bhakti sanskara. But when we practice bhakti, little in our young life, and then more and more, then retired life more and more, then renounced portion, then total bhakti, then so much deep sanskaras, impressions can come in the chitta. One impression goes in and one goes out. If I have a cup of ink, a black ink, and I want to displace that, I want to remove that from the cup, I can tip it over, I can, that's a very fast way. Turn the cup up, empty it. Immediately is empty. Or I can leave the cup of ink there and start pouring milk into it. A big barton of milk. And the milk will go in and mix up, it'll become black ink and some milk, and black will become gray, and then lighter gray, lighter gray. And I only have one cup, 200 milliliters of ink, and I have 3 liters of milk. Milk is going, going, going. And pretty soon the milk displaces the ink, and the ink is all out, and what's left in the cup? Milk. White milk, pure milk. So the black, the ink, and this analogy, or this comparison, this cup is our consciousness, our chitta. And that ink is kamkrodh lobh, moh matsarya. It's bhogicca, karma, karma fall. It is all of our karma, is all of our karma bijas. We have karma, then we make karma bij. When that bij creates karma fall, then we eat the fall, then it's more karma. Endless cycle, karma chakra. So the chitta, the consciousness, is full of these bijams, these bhog bijas, to enjoy. Sanskaras, tendencies to enjoy in a particular way. And then when we come across, when those objects come across the purview of our senses, our ears, that we catch some sound that we have a samskara for, or we catch some sight that we have a samskara for, then that sense impression, that visual, the sight that we see, or the sound we hear, or the smell, we fragrance we smell, when that hits the chitta, then it shakes the consciousness, it disturbs the consciousness, it disturbs the samskara, and from that comes what's called vasana. Vasana means desire. Samskara is tendency, latent or dormant tendency to do something, generally material. So that's a stimulus. The sense impression is a stimulus of the chitta. Then vasana rises from that like a vapor, like an aroma. And that vasana is a vibration, it's a force which pushes us to act. For example, Vishwamitra Muni. Vishwamitra, he was a big king, and then he took up this spiritual life because he was defeated by Vishishta Muni. Vishishta Muni was a great rishi. He was a guru of Ramchandra. And he had a kamdhenu cow, wish-fulfilling cow. And then Vishwamitra, he came to visit the hermitage or ashram of this sage, Vishishta. He said, listen, I have lots of soldiers with me, thousands and thousands of soldiers, chariots, horses, etc., and they're hungry and thirsty. Can you serve us? And the sage, Vishishta Muni, said, yes, you take a bath in the river, become fresh, and when you come out, everything will be ready for you. So Vishwamitra Maharaj, he was the king at this time, he took his bath, he came with all the soldiers, and there was a whole Shamayana arranged, and the canopy and everything, and a seating arrangement, and chapan bhog for thousands of soldiers, and water, and then there was all sleeping quarters there, all on next to his ashram. Vishishta Muni was amazed. Vishwamitra was amazed. How you did all this? And this is your mystic power? No, it's not my power. I have one kamdhenu. This cow, this dhenu, she can fulfill all kam, all desire, whatever I want. So the king was eating, and then he was thinking, if I had this cow, I could make so many soldiers and so many horses and so many arrows and missiles and everything like this. So then he came at night to steal the cow, Vishwamitra. So then the cow, being such a fantastic cow, can also speak. So then she was saying, help, help, Vishishta, this guy is stealing me, chore. So then he came out and said, hey, what are you doing? You put that, drop that cow or I'll kill you. You can be murdered for stealing property. So then there was a fight. So then Vishishta Muni, he defeated Vishwamitra by himself, by his Brahmastra and Brahman Tejas. It's called Brahma Tejas, this power. So then the king was amazed. He said, you're just a sage sitting up here. You're not much stout and strong, and you have so much power. What is your power? He said, this is tapobalam. You appear to be some skinny sage, but you have so much power. And how you get all this power? So he said, I get this power from Bhagavan, from Krishna. This is tapobalam. This is Brahmatej, the force of Brahman, of God. God's power, God Shakti, Bhagavan Shakti. So then Vishwamitra says, how do I get that? So we have to do austerity. Tapabalam. You get strength from tapasya. Control the senses and your mind becomes powerful. Enjoy your senses, the mind becomes weak. No determination, no power of meditation. The sense enjoyment takes away power of mind. When you restrict the senses, then your mind becomes powerful. Your memory increases, Your determination increases. Your perception, you can read people's minds. Many, many things happen when your mental power increases. So this secret, he gave some idea. So Vishwamitra did great austerity. Of course, being a king in his previous portion of his life, he had so many queens and so many palaces, and every night he was with the queens, different one queen, different night, and always so much tinkling ankle bells and kinkini and waist bells and ching, 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 like ladies all dressed up in this and that. So he had, these impressions were deep in his chitta, in his consciousness. The smell of his queens, the sight of his queens, the sound of their ankle bells, the sound of their voice. It's all with him. It's all recorded in his hard drive. The hard drive of his consciousness. The many gigabytes of memory stored there. Many gigabytes of memory from life after life after life. Stored memory chips there. We have one chip and we make from one life, and then we store that in another chip, and all those chips are stored up there. So then he's doing meditation. This is, of course, in Satyuga. People lived a long life, 100,000, 1 lakh years. So he went off and he was doing for 40, 50,000 years, maybe 60,000 years he was meditating, trying to get this power. And then Indra, he was a little bit worried. He said, oh, this king is doing all this austerity, penance and tapasya. He's going to get some blessing from some demigod, from Shiva or Brahma. And possibly he'll desire to take over my Nandakananan gardens, my bagicha, and take my Urvasi and my Tilotama, Rumba, and all my dancing girls, and my celestial consorts up here. He'll kick me out, I'll be dethroned. So he was a little fearful, like everyone else in this material world, fearful over their position, fearful over gaining a position, and fearful over losing a position. But we don't have to gain any position, because we have a position which we can never lose, and we don't have to be fearful about gaining it or fearful about losing it. What is that position? Jivera Surupaya Krishnara Nitya Das. This is the position of every jiva. Every jiva is eternal servant of Krishna. This is the position. Anoraniyan Mahatomahin. Vibhu Chaitanya and Anu Chaitanya. Vibhuchit. Vibhuchit and Anuchit. Anuchit is a molecule of consciousness. That's Anuchit. Small consciousness. And the vast consciousness of God is Vibhu, the great consciousness, the great. So he was meditating, and then Indra sent Menaka. Menaka is one of his, he has a whole fleet of. These whole fleet of these dancing girls, society girls. So he sent Menaka, and she came by, and the sage was locked in meditation, eyes closed, absorbed in samadhi of some sort. And then he heard ching, 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 tink, ting, 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 you know, little tinkle, 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 ankle bells. But Menaka was dancing in front of him. And he was so deep in his consciousness that he couldn't hear. We have this experience ourselves without even deeply meditating, that if we're absorbed in reading a book or some activity, computer, or maybe people watch TV or whatever they do, really absorbed in something, then someone calls your name. Oh, you have a phone call, telephone, this, that, or whatever. They don't even hear you. And it's not that you're sleeping, it's simply your consciousness is elsewhere. Your mind is focused elsewhere. Your mind has been drawn to your eyes. And your eyes are reading a book, or your eyes are looking at the computer. So your mind, all your mind's power has become focused and concentrated on the sense of on the visual, on the eyes. So the ears have, the mind is not sending much power to the ears. So the ears aren't picking up much vibration. So when someone calls you, they have to call you several times, and finally that hits that ear impression, your mind catches, ears. Oh yeah, I do have ears. Oh, ears. Ears are catching some sound. Oh, that's my name. Oh yeah, what's happening? I called you so many times. What is with you? This sage was deep in his meditation, but the ankle bells kept going on. And what happened is because he had sanskara for ankle bells, he had heard ankle bells so many times in so many palaces from so many queens, he had a very deep sanskara for ankle bell shabda, the sound of ankle bells. So ting, ting, ting. And then as soon as he heard that sound, without opening his eyes or anything, then choom, and then it's like you press a button and you open some file, and then something happens. As soon as you press a button, you open this folder and then the file, and then you're there in the middle of some book somewhere, whatever. It's like hibernation. You're writing on a book and you just close it and you open up and you're right there where you left off, or your term paper. So he was right there where he left off. That sense impression that sense impression of the ankle bell stimulated his chitta. And that sound went over his chitta, almost like a laser light goes over a CD disc, and reading a CD disc. So that sound, that ching, 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 it went over the surface of his chitta. Is there anything there? Any samskara there? And the person was some brahmacharya who lived in somewhere, he never heard ankle bells. It would go like, the sound would go ding, 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 just go right off his consciousness. It wouldn't stop anywhere. Because there's no place for it to stop. There's nothing in his consciousness that connects with ankle bell, because he doesn't have any experience. Never heard ankle bell, so you can't register. So, but the sage, he heard ankle bell, then that hit that stopped in his consciousness, and that sound stimulated his samskara for enjoying with all his queens. Because when the ankle bell means I'm with my queens, I'm alone with them in the bed, this, that, the other thing, very confidential setting. So much material pleasure over there. So then when that sound came, that stimulated his chitta. His samskara got stimulated, then rising from that samskara with this vapor called vasana. He became agitated with what? Desire. Desire for what? Desire. The desire from that samskara manifested in his mind. It went from his consciousness, it came up from his consciousness through his intelligence to his mind and sat in his mind. Oh, yes. Well, that's the sound of woman. Oh, ankle bells, woman. Oh, woman, enjoyment. Wife, queens. Where? Oh, it's nearby. Oh, maybe it's my wife. And then, so then his consciousness, you know, he was meditating so deep, and all of a sudden that samskara took him out from that samadhi, and then he came up through the intelligence, through the mind, and he opened his eyes. And, oh, he stopped his meditation, and then he combined with his Menaka, and they produced a daughter, Shakuntala. Famous in the Puranic literature, Shakuntala, the daughter of Vishwamitra, and it was called the Muni at that point, Vishwamitra Muni and Menaka. So this is what will happen to us at the time of death. We have samskaras that are very powerful. The most powerful samskaras is where our mind will go there at the time of death, because of the pain, because of the fear, because of the anxiety. And then we'll call out, oh, Preeti, or whatever. We'll call out the name of our wife or whatever. We'll hold her hand. Hold my hand. Hold, take care of my sons and my property and all these things. Mind absorbed in property and children and wife. And then next life, if you're very pious and very religious in this life, you may become a human being, and if you're a human being, you'll be a woman, because your attachment is there. So to have the samskara at the time of death reach out to Krishna, to think of Krishna, remember God, then it must be some practice throughout life, and especially the last quarter of life, one should be deeply absorbed. And then these samskaras will become deeper than any other samskara. The bhakti samskaras we cultivate intensely at the last portion of our life, they do two things. They fill our chitta with God, with thoughts of God, remembrance of God, impressions of God's name, impressions of God's form, impressions of God's qualities, His pastimes. That's one thing that's going on. But then there's a speciality, karmani nirdahati kintu chabakti bhajan. Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma, is, as one law book or prayer book, he says, karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajan. He says, by doing bhakti bhajan, shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam, hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna, then this karmani nirdahati, it actually destroys the material sanskaras. the material sanskaras that are in our consciousness, they become removed. So we may be thinking wife, for 40 years out of our 80. 20 years no wife, then 40 years wife, for 40 years. But then the last 20 years, we're thinking Krishna. Then that Krishna creates Krishna samskara, and that remembrance of God also kicks out the wife. No offense to wives. I don't mean to offend any gentle, humble, serving wives or chaste wives of good husbands. But this is the effect that bhakti removes the material attachments. It doesn't just take up resonance alongside of them. That they're both there. Bhakti is in the chitta and bhog is in the chitta, and then they compete for attention at the time of death. It's not like a competition. Who's going to win? My wife or Krishna? Krishna, my wife. It's close, it's Krishna. No, it's my wife. It's Krishna. No, it's Krishna all the way. We hope so. Mandamana bhavamad bhakta madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyosi me. Krishna priya, priya jana. Everyone's a jana, everyone's a living entity, a jana. But are we Krishna priya jana? Or a patni priya jana? I am pati priya jana, priya jani. A very dear one of my husband. We have become Krishna priya jana, very dear to Krishna. Because now we're always thinking of our wife, we're always devoted to our wife, we're always bowing down to our wife. Krishna says, mam namaskuru. Like we say namaskar, he says, mam namaskuru, karu, karo. He says, do namas, do obeisances. So it's patni namaskuru. Manmana patni, we always think of our patni. Manmana bhavamad bhakta, and we have bhakti bhav for our wife. Mam namaskuru, we offer obeisances to our wife. And prati patni priyajana, we're very dear to our patnis. But Krishna says, always think of me, Krishna says. Become my devotee, offer obeisances to me. And worship me, yaji. One he says, madyaji, yajan means puja. Puja nivedan. Do puja, worship me. Well, we worship our wives. Look, I bought you this new necklace, this new diamond necklace. Let me do Sringar Seva. Let me put it on your neck. Oh, I bought you these earrings. Let me do Sringar Seva. Oh, I bought this nice pin for your hair. So we do Sringar Seva, we do yaji, patni yaji. We worship our wives. But if we have a deity of Krishna that we offer, we do Sringar Seva, Radharani Sringar Seva. Giridhari Sringar. Sringarartik. We do Sringarartik, Sringar Seva for our wife, and then say, okay, let's go to the party. Oh, wow, Sringarartik. Sringar Darsha, and she's all dressed up, kajal and nose ring and earrings and lipstick and bangles and hairpiece and necklace and brooch and choker and toe rings and waist bells and ankle bells, and get a headache just thinking of all the things. This is Radharani Sringar. If you're a Mandri Bhav and you're meditating in a Siddhadeya, and that's your seva, Sringar Seva, given by your Guru Sakhi, then it's your perfection to meditate in your heart of hearts and dressing Radharani. So she can go out and dance in a rasa dance with Krishna. Brushing Radharani's hair very nicely. And then making a nice bani, making it in three parts, then tying bani. Then picking some flowers, some bela, some mogra flowers. Making little tiny garlands, putting them inside the hair. Yeah, you could do seva like this for Radharani. This is on the high end of siddhi, sarup siddhi. Now we have jiva, we have seva sarup, jivara sarupaya. Krishna, our sarup is our Krishna sarup. Our sarup is Krishna das, das das anadas. Questions? Well, there's two things. Jiva sarup. There's There's vastu and there's rupam. Vastu is the substance and rupam is the form. There's bhav and rupam. First there's bhav, some bhav, and then there's rup, form. So the jiva sarup. First thing is the bhav sarup. The bhav is seva. Krishna Dasi. I am Krishna's ami, or let's say, aham Krishna Das, Dasi. That's the bhav. And then there's expression of the bhav. That's the vastu, that's the substance. The substance is the bhav. Then you express that bhav as sakha, as friend, as mother, father, vatsalya, bhav, sakya bhav, madura bhav, madurya, as consort, Krishna's consort, Krishna's sakhi, gopi. So jivar sarup, that means the very bhav sarup, the bhav sarup of the jiva is seva. And then the actual form is the actual rupam is gopi rup, sakha rup, or father, like Nanda Baba, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, and father. You can say father rup or whatever you say. Pati rup, Krishna Kapati, father. Krishna Kamata, Mata rup. This is the form, spiritual form. It's like you have bhav. Your bhav is I am mother. And so you have seva bhav for your baby, your daughter. That's your bhav. But then you also have form. You have mother's form. Mother has breasts for milking, feeding baby, and making baby, and then cooking all this. So this form and bhav, vastu and rupam. So the jiva has a bhav and he has rupam. Now you have this form to be a mother, and that's only for a short time. But in the spiritual world, you have a form to serve Krishna for eternal time. Eternally be Krishna's mother, or eternally be Krishna's friend, or eternally be Krishna's gopi or sakhi, serving him like that. And so that's, but your bhav, the basic bhav of all the servants, everyone's a servant. In the spiritual world, everyone's a servant. Just like in the family, everyone's a servant of the children. The father is serving the children, the mother, the children are receiving the service. They're not really doing anything. They're just enjoying. They're not doing much of anything. They'll get their turn. They'll have to pay their dues when they have kids and grow up and all these things. So in the spiritual world, Krishna's receiving. He's a Vishai, Prem Vishai, and we're Prem Ashray. We're the abode of love and he's the object of love. He receives the service. And we are the servants. We are the servitors and he is the served. Savior Bhagavan and Sevak. We are Sevaks, and he is Savior. Savior Bhagavan. He receives the Seva of the Sevaks, of us. His mother serves him, his father serves him, his brother serves him, his friends serve him, his lovers serve him. But he also reciprocates. Because when we serve someone, when we serve our children, for example, when a mother, she has a baby, she milks her baby, she feeds her baby, she feels very happy. It's God's arrangement that she feels some happiness. Her mind actually feels very relaxed. And a certain kind of thrill comes in her mind when the baby is on her, suckling her breast. So that happiness is given by God. We don't produce that happiness, it just kind of happens. When the baby's not on the breast, that same sensation and feeling is not there. It's something special that happens. So the same thing when in the spiritual world, when someone is serving God according to his sarup, as Krishna's father servant or friend servant or lover gopi servant or just servant, some das in his house servant or whatever. And he just simply renders service and Krishna receives the service, but the servitor feels very happy. When he renders that service, he feels extreme joy. Anand. Sevanand. The term is Sevanand. The bliss of serving. in the spiritual world, slavery is blissful. In the material world, slavery is abominable. And with all the slaves, they always have freedom movements. Free the slaves. Freedom for the slaves. Because they want to be free to make someone else their slave. The slaves don't want to be slaves for someone. They want to be free so they can make someone else their slave and enjoying being a master. But actually, in the spiritual world, everyone's a slave. But it's divine slavery to an enlightened master who is a master of love. He's a loving master. So when you're serving the personification of love, you're a slave. You're a slave of the personification of love. Then what will you get in return? You get the epitome of love. So no one thinks that they're a slave. They don't have. That's their natural position. Our natural position is to serve. Well, the Pandavas, they say they're Nitya Parishads. They're Parishads of the Lord. They're eternal associates of the Lord. So there's jivas. There's jivas that can become, get a siddhadeya. The jivas can get a siddhadeya, get a spiritual form. They have a spiritual form. And they can serve the Lord. But we're tatasta shakti. We're manifested from one energy. Krishna's personal servants are manifested from his sarup shakti, from his internal spiritual energy. So they have a different form. Just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, avajananti ma muda manushyam tanamashrita. He says, avajananti ma muda manushyam tanamashrita. Manush tanu. Manush tanu means body. Manush means man, human being. Ashrita means take shelter of, or I inhabit. Avajananti ma mudha. Mudha, fools, foolish people think that when I descend to the material world, then Brahman, the Mayavadis say, Brahman, Krishna is Brahman taking a material form. The reality is Brahman, para Brahman or Brahman. And Brahman, when Brahman mixes with Maya, then it appears as Krishna, or Brahman takes a material form, then that's Krishna or God. Of course, this is the Mayavad conception. But Krishna is telling something differently himself in Gita. He said, fools say this, avajananti ma muna manushyam tanamashrita. Actually, my body is always the same. And there's some discussion that Krishna says that I gave this knowledge I'm giving to you, Arjuna. I spoke it to the sun god millions of years ago. I can remember all this, but you can't. And so then Arjuna says, well, how is it? I don't remember. Because Arjuna is changing body. Body's changing, but Krishna's body is not changing. So Krishna's body, when Krishna appears here, appears in a spiritual body. His body is spiritual. It's not like ours. It's immaculate conception. The eternal associates, they also have spiritual bodies. Radharani, they have a spiritual body also. So the Pandavas, same thing. They went back in their self-same body. They came in a spiritual... Krishna went back in his body, just a bewildered atheist. At Prabhasa Kshetra, north of Dwarka, he had this whole leela with Jara, this hunter that shot an arrow. And so Krishna left a body. It's like a costume. I put on a gorilla costume, and I go on a stage, and I'm a gorilla. And then I take off the costume and throw it on the stage after the play. And someone says, and they come up and say, what's this? This is the gorilla. This is just a costume. And then I come and stand, that's me, I'm the gorilla. Oh, really? Yeah, I was wearing that costume. But that was just some costume. That's not me. That's just something to fool you. You thought I was a costume. So God left the body there. So atheists say, the hunter shot Krishna. The hunter killed God with an arrow in his foot. So he died. Moshala. It's called Moshala. Moshala Leela. The disappearance Leela of God. Moshala. But he has eternal body, Satchidananda Vigraha. Ishvara Paramakrishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. Anadir Adir Govindam, Sarvakarna Karanam. Brahma, Lord Brahma, he's the most intelligent person. He's saying that Krishna has a spiritual body. Satchidananda Vigraha, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. So that He came in a spiritual body and left in a spiritual body. But he threw that costume, that gorilla costume, he threw on under the tree so people say, oh, see, look, he left a body. He's like us. We die and we leave a body. We die and we leave this planet, or we leave this wherever. And then we leave behind, we leave some body that burn up in the cremation. Shamshan. And that's that, Gautam Hogya. But when God leaves this world, he came in a spiritual body, left in a spiritual body. Pandavas came and they left. Why Vrindadevi took the form of plant? Well, there's some story in a Puran about some cursing and this and that. But there's those stories about that. We don't so much follow that, because there's different forms, different expansions of the Lord. I mean, the Radharani that we worship in the inner segment of Goloka, there's no cursing and all these things. But Vrindadevi, in the spiritual world, devotees and the Lord also can have many different forms to serve the Lord. Just like here, although we don't take on a whole new body, but in one sense, we may take on a new identity. For example, the father may go to work, and he's an executive. And he dresses up in shirt and tie and everything, and he goes and he's an executive. But then on a weekend, he plays cricket. And he's like a catcher, or whatever, like some guy that catches the ball when they throw it. Fielder. So he has some helmet and some special knee pads, and he goes there and they throw the ball, and he catches it and throws it back, or whatever they do, like in baseball. I don't know about cricket. Yeah. So he has a whole different costume, and he's playing a different role. He's doing something different. And someone says, oh, that's the managing director for Tata Industry. No, 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 that's just some fielder from the cricket. He's not an executive. Look, he doesn't look like an executive. He's got this mask on his head and these knee pads. So he appears to have a different form, a slightly different form to do that different function. But he's the same person. And then what to speak of if he does what I just said. If he goes, he does drama also, and he does Bharatanatyam dancing. Then he dresses up in all fancy costume and everything, and he does dancing. And you say, that's the managing director of Tata Industries. So get out, come on. All that cudgel and all the makeup, and or he does this South Indian Katakal dancing. His face is all green or whatever, like Ramachandra or something. So you can't recognize him. So that's in this world, apparently some slight modification of form to do a different seva. But in the spiritual world, the Lord's associates, they can completely change their form to do a different seva. They can become a tree, or they can become a bird, or anything. So in this case, Vrindadevi, she has a human-like form. She's like a girl. She's like a gopi. She's a gopi, Sakhi. One of Radharani's Sakhi girlfriends. And she does so many, she's called Leela Shakti. She's in charge of the Leelas, pastimes. She arranges different pastimes in the Kunjas. Yogamaya and Vrindadevi. But she takes on another form to serve Krishna, and that's as a tree. As this tree, because Krishna likes Tulsi. And so Tulsi leaves are used in Krishna's puja, and Krishna's food, and Krishna's, he has them on his feet with chandan. So this is, she has that ability to take on different forms for seva. Just like you may go on a play and they'll dress you up as a cow. You put on some costume, and you come out on the stage and they say, oh, it's a cow. I said, no, that's so-and-so's daughter. No, no, it's a cow. Big horns are there, head and everything. You have a completely different form. You're the same person, but you're exhibiting a different form to play the role of that cow in the drama. So in this, the spiritual world, the associates, they can expand into different forms to do seva. There's some pastime where the coward boys, they were joking with Krishna. They said, we heard that one of your incarnations, that sometimes you fly around on the back of a big eagle. Your name is Vishnu, and you have four arms, and you sit on the back of this huge bird we call it eagle. And I think his name is Garuda or something like that. The boys are saying, because the boys don't know so much, the coward boys, the suckers in Vrindavan. And Krishna says, yes, 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 that is one of my rupes, my Vishnu rupe I do. You want to see? Yeah, we want to see. That sounds amazing. I only see you running behind the cows and playing. You're going to fly in the sky like a bird, Krishna? Yeah, I can. So then he said, hey, Sridham, you become Garuda. So then Sridham Sakka, who's Radharani's older brother, Sridham, he immediately manifested as an eagle. Then Krishna manifested form with Sona Mukut and gold Mukut and all heavy, like Vishnu, all this royal jacket, everything. No more Vaijanti Mala, no more chadar and bare chest and flowers in his hair. And a very official Vishnu Rup, big Jyoti and all these things, big Jyoti behind his helmet, like you see on the Mahabharata. Big Jyoti, no pagri, no more punk. And then Garuda, Sridham becomes like, he's an eagle now. And then Krishna sits on the back like this and holds some of his feathers or whatever. Like a horse or something, holds a few feathers in his hand. And then flies off and goes flying in the air. And then they go flying around. The boys, wow, look at that. Wow, Sridham turned into an eagle, into Garuda. And Krishna turned into Vishnu. Wow, that's unbelievable. Wow, Krishna, he can do anything. So then he came back. They came back. And then, so that was happened. So they can change form to serve Krishna's wish and to serve the pastimes. And that temple is a very ancient pastime. Krishna's great grandson, Bhadranav, he installed many original old deities and developed pastime places, Leela Stalis, in Braj Mandal to commemorate the memory of these great pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan 5,000 years ago. So he installed a deity called Garuda Govind, Garuda Govinda, and it's over by the Gwalthis Vrindavan Road and turn left on the Delhi Agra Highway, National Highway, whatever you call it, going back home to Delhi. And right after the gas station, you'll see a gas station right away within 10 seconds. As soon as you get to the corner, there's some crummy gas station there. And go about 50 meters, there's a road there, Sonrak Road, which goes to Madhavan Colony in Vrindavan. Eventually, parallels the other road. It goes right to Garuda Govinda. It's only 300 meters up the road, the temple of Garuda Govinda. You can go there sometime. And you can see it's a deity of Vishnu, of Krishna standing on top of Garuda. 5,000-year-old deity. Anandakanda Bhagavan ki jai.